Jeff and to the leadership team for having me here. It's an honor, and thank you all for putting up with second choice this morning. So I hope it won't go too bad and disappoint. You met Chris already, so we were going back and forth with kind of how to introduce, and I thought maybe I'd try to just pass off as Chris and see who was paying attention a few weeks ago, but we decided not to do that. So I'll tell you a little bit about me in just a moment so, you know, we can get to know each other a little bit, and we'll share a few things, and we'll look at God's Word. But if it's okay, I felt like I was coming to a church that would be okay with prayer. And I'd love to just take a moment, if you would join me in praying, and feel free to pray right as you are there as well for Chris. It's not, I would say this, he hasn't run into a kind of a catastrophic kind of health thing. It's just some of the demands as summer camp kicks off in a few weeks, and there are a lot of changes happening, and there are certain things that have to be done and in place that at this moment he has to step in and do. And so I know it was very heavy heart that he was kind of asking to send a substitute this morning and everything. And I thought, well, let's just pray for him, if that would be all right. So if you just join me in praying for a moment for Chris, let's do that, please. Heavenly Father, just thank you for the words that we were reminded of this morning as we praised you, as we exalted you, as we lifted your name high. And this morning, it's our pleasure to just gather together as God's holy people and make our requests known to you, our petitions known to you, and to intercede on behalf of our brothers and sisters. And this morning, I just want to lift before you Chris and the burdens that he's feeling, God. I just pray that you would sovereignly come alongside him and just overpower him today, God, with your sovereignty, your grace, your glory, that you'd give him wisdom, insight, strength, and endurance to handle the things that he needs to handle, also to have that confidence to let down anything that he's not meant to carry or handle. You know, we know that you give us that word to come to you when we're weary, when our souls are heavy and burdened, and to take upon your yoke. So God, this morning, put your yoke upon him, which is easy and carries a light burden. We just thank you for Chris and the blessing, the gift that he is to the ministry of Joyel, to all the people that are there, and I just pray that you would work in and through him this day. It's in Jesus' name we ask all this. Amen. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Pastor Jeff mentioned it just a little bit. I thought, since you're kind of wondering, well, who is this person they sent? Who's this substitute that's come in? I'll take just a moment or two to share a little bit of who I am and background and what's brought me here to stand before you today. As he mentioned, our family served in overseas missions a little bit before I connected with Joyel, so I'll back up just a step or two before that. I'm originally from Harrisburg area, so not far away, but not right in Franklin County. I was born and raised in Harrisburg. Met my wife. We started our family in Harrisburg, and we're living there. And as a working professional, we were living much of the, say, maybe a normal, traditional path of life and faith. And then God called us to ministry, and everything changed, as it often does when you encounter Jesus and surrender to Jesus and say, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask. And so at that time, he had called us to ministry, and in that season, specific missions and work overseas. And so it was not a very long period, though it felt like it at times. We went overseas in 2019, and we were back and forth between India and here, 2019 to 2021. I said the way that we kind of came to Franklin County in this region is, if anybody remembers what was happening in 2020, it was very disruptive to all of the world. I know no part was immune, including, you know, here, but it was very turbulent abroad, especially in a place where visas were already challenging and difficult, and there was all kinds of things happening. I'll spare you all those details for now, but I can just recall a Friday that the decision was made that we needed to leave from Asia, you remember, that's kind of where that whole thing started too. So I had some concerns and apprehensions about that, but we needed to leave and come back to the States. The only problem was we had nowhere to go. We didn't have a home anymore. We didn't have a car. We didn't have anything. And the people of God, as they so often do, just rallied together and helped meet some needs in incredible ways. And we, you know, Friday, from the other side of the world, I was making some calls to some people, and a dear brother calls me back and says, I have a home for you. He said, it's in Chambersburg. I said, oh, okay, that's not too far from our home. That'll be great. I said, thank you. He said, I'll send you the guy's number, and you can call him Monday, and, you know, when you arrive and everything. And I said, okay, thanks. And so I hung up the phone, and I told my wife, I said, hey, great news. I said, we have a home to head to. We can go there Monday. I'll call, you know, when we get back and our flights are there, I'll call them, and we'll figure out the pickup details. And I said, you know, praise God. And she said, yeah, praise God. She said, just curious. She said, how many bedrooms is there? I said, I don't know. Is there beds in the house? I don't know. Are there going to be bed sheets? Or I don't know. So, typical differences between husbands and wives there. And so, much not to a surprise, the church here in Chambersburg was above and beyond blessing. They rallied together. The house was filled with everything, including full cupboards of food and all the linens and towels and things you could imagine. I mean, we walked into a home scenario, and that was kind of the beginning of how we got to call for, you know, Chambersburg, Franklin County area home. Though I thought it was temporary, and we did kind of bounce back and forth then over those next 2 or 3 years. But then as the Lord was rearranging our steps in 2023, I knew that we were to kind of settle a little bit of roots. And so we've been here and calling it home since then. And so you'll hear from me then, forgive me for it, but you know, my heart is very heavy and called and drawn towards missions, towards the mission of God. And so you'll probably hear that a bit. I should mention too that in addition to my wife, the reason she was curious about those bedrooms is we have 3 children. Now they have, all those years have passed. I haven't gotten any older. I've stayed youthful, but they've continued to kind of get older. So I have, my youngest is 16. I have an 18-year-old that just graduated from Chambersburg on Friday. And then our daughter is 22. And also blessed us with a grandson already, too. So I am the youngest grandfather you've ever seen, I'm sure. but as any grandparent would tell you, it is by far the best job and role that I've ever had. And I would do that all day, every day, if I could, in every way. So this is where we call home. And over that little bit of time then, as we were settling here, we continued to kind of engage and serve and do missional work. And our heart also is really one of the things that I still talk and teach and kind of work in is marketplace missions, which I say it can mean a lot of things, but it's, you know, believers engaging in God's mission every day in everything that they do. So that's kind of what God's really worked into my heart. And so it's interesting then, if you kind of think and match that, how did God kind of weave Joyelle together into my life at this time, and me to Joyelle, and what's God doing there? So I'll ask for a small bit of interaction here now, and it's very simple, I promise. It's not going to be embarrassing, but how many here are already familiar with Joyelle and Joyelle Ministries? I thought as much. Almost every place I've gone, that's usually the case. very few places have I been where people are not familiar with it. That's a testament to the faithfulness of God and kind of just using that ministry to impact this region. This region is extremely blessed in so many different ways, and Joyelle just gets the privilege to be a part of that. So I have had a few places and opportunities where I have to tell people about Joyelle where they don't know anything. And so if you'll allow me for a moment, see how I do with this, but let me share something with you here when I think about Joyelle that maybe it just gives a small shift on how you might have perceived or thought about it, or maybe nothing at all, and you can say, hey, you just did a good job. Tell me, but save that for later. Don't tell me now, because I don't want to get nervous if I do a bad job. But this is what I've begun to kind of summarize and share with people about Joy-El and what Joy-El does as an organization, as a ministry. I like to describe it as a missional partner. Joy-El is a missional partner. They're really a ministry extension of local church. Yes, the primary ministry they do is to children and youth, but we do everything there together with the body of Christ, with local churches, as we serve children and youth. And what's amazing is that we're impacting lives for eternity. And yes, we're impacting children's lives. Children are making important decisions that are eternal. They're hiding God's word in their heart. But I've been really blessed to see that not only are we reaching children, but we're reaching families. And I think when we reach families, we start to impact communities as well. And so it's just this incredible work of God that is bigger than what we might think of when we just look at one thing they do. I'll say this, there's four kind of ministry platforms that Joy-El uses, and these are the things that I'm sure all of you are very familiar with, and some I know are even serving and helping be part of it. But we have that Bible Adventure and Christians in Action program, the Release Time program. We have camps where we're running, like we're getting ready for summer camp and the year-round camps that are happening. There's the 412 leadership training program for teenagers, we'll say 8th through 12th grade, to just disciple them and grow deeper in their faith and build leadership skills. And then, of course, there's the retreat side of it, where people and guests are coming. And that's an incredible thing that I think can often be overlooked, is the impact that God is using Greencastle in this region to really impact the greater church community and the broader area, because we have churches coming from around Washington, D.C., Baltimore, other parts of Virginia that they're coming out. I always kind of tease it this way. I said they leave the urban area and they come out to the country, but they encounter God's presence out here, and they kind of take that life transformation back there with them. And so that's my kind of short summary there of what Joy-El is. And again, I hope that maybe that's offered some kind of just maybe a little shift, or you glean something different that you hadn't thought about before, or maybe it adds some clarity to something Chris shared with you a few weeks ago as he shared some updates. What I love and how that's kind of woven into my heart and calling and the ways that God is allowing me to serve and be part of this, I love the many, many opportunities I have time and time again to see and to hear about how all of the church is coming together, glorifying God, serving, working together to reach all people. We are all coming together around some simple foundational truths. We're all coming together to serve and be a blessing to people. We're all coming together to teach God's word. And so today, I want to take a look at a part of Scripture that I hope will stir you a bit, that will encourage you. And really, it's this idea of unity. I don't really have a fancy title for the message. It's just the importance of unity, the purpose and the power that there is with unity. And something that the Lord was just kind of showing me a little bit during our time between overseas and reconnecting back here into the States, and it just became so central at that time, and it stayed heavy on my heart for quite some time. And so we'll take a look together at a part of Scripture that I'm sure you're all familiar with. John 17 is where I'm going to be looking. In John 17, particular couple passages, verses 20 to 23. So I'll give you all a few moments to be there. We'll read together, and I'll let you know. I'm just reading mine from an NIV version. But We look at God's Word, John 17, verses 20 to 23, and here God's Word says to us, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me." Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we just thank you for your word. I just ask now, God, you would do what only you can do. Take your word, move powerfully by your spirit, and just impart to each heart here exactly what you know they need to hear, what you want them to hear. God, I just yield myself for your use, that you would speak through me only what you desire to say this day. And God, we just ask that through everything said and done here today, that you and you alone, God, would be glorified high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know that this is a church that is familiar with God's Word. You have your Bibles, you use them, you read them. So this is a probably very familiar part of Scripture for all of us. And forgive me if you've thought or had something like this before, but I know that there's always something more we can draw and unpack out of here. And so I won't go through a big, long, exhaustive message here and setting up too many things, but one of the things that I find so interesting as we look at the context of this passage in John 17, we know that these are coming at a very crucial moment in the life of Jesus. This is coming at somewhat near his final hours on earth, or the climax of his calling, if you will. As we look at the context of what's happening around us in the book of John and the other Gospels, as we look at this, it's believed that this time and this teaching, this message, these passages are coming at a time where somewhere in between this upper room and the Last Supper we have there, where the Lord washes his feet of the disciples, and on the way to Gethsemane. And so somewhere in there, there's a lot of these powerful teachings and stories that we have from our Lord. And here in this passage, it's interesting that what we have is actually the words of Jesus here. As I said, it's this Lord's Prayer. Not what we would often call the Lord's Prayer. It's not the one that we refer to often where he's teaching us how to pray. But here in John 17, we literally have Jesus praying for us. As he opens up the prayer in John 17, we see he has these first few short verses where he's giving himself over for God's glory. Then he goes and he prays for his disciples who are there with him and seeing and hearing all this and who he's just taught and imparted words to. And then he starts to pray for all of his disciples, for all future believers. He's praying for you and for me. And he's praying for our children and for their children and the children after them. Powerful thoughts. And from here, I think that there's much we can draw, but I just want to take a moment and just highlight two sort of simple, maybe powerful themes that the Lord's kind of shown me here over this, through those verses that we looked at. The first one is this idea, when I think of unity, I think of community. And the Lord doesn't use this word here explicitly, but community was that first theme that I saw that really was highlighted to me. And so I'm going to take a few moments and talk about that, but we look at the prayer that Jesus had there, and he said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one." Jesus praying here for all future believers, he's praying for unity. Just let that set in for a few moments. his final hours, some of his final words, his final kind of intercessions. And as he's praying for us, he didn't pray for our safety. He didn't pray for our faith. He didn't pray that we would all have power to cast out demons and heal. We know that some of that comes later and is given us and everything, but he doesn't pray that we would have the best, smartest people, the greatest levels of wisdom, that we wouldn't be the best speakers and preachers. He prayed that we would all be one. He prayed that there would be a sense of unity. So that tells me unity must be important to God. Unity must be important to his kingdom. It must be very near to the heart of the Father. This unity that Christ was praying for creates a sense of community. And this is where you get a little play on words. It's a community of unity. That's what the church should be. A representation, an example, the best shining example to the world as a community of unity. How do we experience this? What does it actually look like? Now, I know not this church here, but other churches at times have had experienced division, right? We've had different thoughts, and there's these moments in time where we experience disunity. And so I think to some extent there needs to be some teaching, some glimpse and looking in to see how do we experience that kind of unity that Jesus was praying for and what might it actually look like. And I think it's so important to look at what I think are the foundational components that we have. I think the first thing that we must always remember if we think about this idea of a community of unity, it starts with us. We have to be one with him. See, I have to abide in Christ. You have to abide in Christ. That's our first place where that unity starts and where that community is built. See, I believe out of that closeness that we will have with Christ, out of our personal friendship, out of our nearness and our abiding in Christ, then we get placed to the community of other believers and other followers. This is where we start to then have that opportunity to live in complete unity with one another. Now, that is easier said than done. Sounds nice, it sounds easy, but I think there's another key component that we must carry in our character that starts with us. When we think about now being in a community with other believers, we have a closeness with Christ, we have a relationship with him, and he's placed us with this body of other people. Now, again, not here at this church, but in other churches, that can be difficult. Not every person sitting beside you and next to you is as wonderful as you are, right? But we're to live in unity with one another, the person to your left and your right and in front and behind you. That requires humility. We've got to have a sense of humility to experience that true unity. I'm sure there's lots of places, but to me, the part of Scripture that's spoken the loudest and the clearest and the most convicting at times about what true humility is comes in Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read those verses for us as we think about this and just allow it to give you a picture and an illustration of true humility. There, Philippians 2, God's word says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." That's many sermons on its own right there. I won't go into that tangent with you there. Powerful words. But look at some of the just simple, convicting, powerful statements we have here about humility and how it might relate to our unity with one another. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. value others above yourself. Look to the interests of others, not to your own interests. This is the community of unity. I believe this is what Jesus was praying for that we would experience. We see we get a glimpse of this throughout scriptures. We see this in action through the book of Acts. We see this unpacking a little bit, and we get some biblical references for it. And I'm sure, again, all of you are very familiar. I'll just grab a few verses there to kind of paint a picture for us, and we'll keep flowing. But we see this in what's often called Acts 2 community, right? And we know the book of Acts gives us glimpses of this. There around the end of chapter 2 in verses 42 to 46, we see a community here that says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. All believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Again, looking back to our main verse, and we think of that prayer of Jesus. If you remember in there, he prayed that we would be in complete unity. I think that's such an important little word that's in there. He didn't pray for partial unity. He didn't pray that sometimes we would be united and occasionally we would be united together when it was convenient for us or when we agreed on everything. But he prayed that we, as the body of believers, would be in complete unity. Do you feel the depths of that, of what that prayer means? Are we seeing some of these patterns that are developing here? And we see again through Acts 2 in this community that the way they were living, there was a selfless sense of living in community together. We had people who were sharing of their means and resources and helping to meet needs of others. We saw that this community, they were being together. They were serving others together. When we do this, church, I believe this is when we start to truly see these Christ-centered communities, these communities of unity that Jesus was praying for that you and I would experience. And I believe that it's through this type of community where God's glory is revealed on earth to all peoples around us. Let me kind of start painting a picture for you of what it can look like today in 2026. And I'll share a few illustrations of things that I've had the privilege to hear and see, the way that God's working through people, through the local church, partnering together in the ministries that Joyelle offers and provides. You know, what's incredible to me, and I find just the most exciting and yet humbling part of the work at Joyelle is seeing folks come together and serve, whether it's in the release time programs, whether it's the 412 student, people are pouring into the lives of young students, young adults, or at camp, getting ready for this season here. It takes so many people to make this type of ministry happen. And the people that come together, I'll just say it this way, they come from many different churches, and many different religious upbringings and backgrounds. We've got people coming from all different age ranges. We've got young and old and everybody in between working together. But they're all coming together united. They're all coming together around God's mission, sharing His word, serving people, being a blessing, right? His mission to make disciples of all people, right? That's what, so we can all bring those backgrounds and experiences, and it doesn't make us any less of who, but they don't become the focus. What becomes the focus is, hey, we're here to serve God and serve people. And they come together in unity this way. And what I've seen as I've talked to people, as I've been part of some of the meetings and some of the programs that are happening, and this is what I love seeing, is for the body of Christ, for the believers, what happens is, you still have who you are, and you still have your home church, but what you've done now is you've connected with your extended family. You're coming together with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and you've now got this extended family that you have the privilege, sometimes the challenge, of living in unity with, right? But what happens is I start to see believers now start caring for one another in this new community. They start helping one another meet needs. They pray together. They're eating together. They're blessing one another. I've seen things where, you know, someone is getting someone sick, or maybe their husband's sick. You know, I know as a local church, we use that as a time, and we're there to maybe pray for them. We're bringing meals. I've seen this now where you just have an extended family available, so all of a sudden you have too many meals coming your way because your church is bringing some and your extended church family is bringing you meals, right? They're stepping in and helping. They're blessing one another. They're sharing of their resources to meet needs as there is. And when that happens, when we're in complete unity, of course, it's usually in abundance. It's how God does things. And then, of course, there's just this powerful component where we're serving together. We're moving God's mission forward together. I believe there's many great things that can happen when we're unified in Christ and in one another. If we turn back now to the verses there in John 17, I want to show you this other theme that really stood out to me. To really just want to highlight the purpose of this unity, the power that's experienced when we live in this type of community of unity. I go back to the passage there in John 17. I'm going to read it again just to make it fresh in our minds. Jesus prays. He says, "May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me." When this struck me deep, that passage there, and it's, again, it usually hinges off of like one word. The Lord just kind of can take one word and grip your heart powerfully with it. And I was looking at that, and I was thinking, then the world will know that you've sent me. I thought it was interesting that it wasn't by our faith. It wasn't by our speech or our deeds that the world would know. It wasn't by the titles that we hold or the education that we have. It wasn't by the programs that we run that the world would know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God sent to earth as the atonement for our sins, as the reconciler of man back to God. He said it was by our oneness that the world would know that God sent him and that he loved us as he loves them. You see, it's by the unity of the church that the world around us begins to know who Jesus is. They begin to see God's glory. They begin to experience. They're curious about Jesus. Now, I want to make sure you don't leave here unclear and misinterpret something I've said. I'm not suggesting in any way that these other practices are not good and necessary. We must have the proclamation of the gospel. We must speak. We must have faith, right? We must have acts of service and deeds and works. But it was just so interesting that Jesus said it was by our complete unity that the world would know. I'm going to continue here just drawing out with a few of these illustrations some things that I've seen God doing through people with Joyelle that are serving, that are part of these programs, some stories that are happening now in our world, in our community, right around us, that might help to illustrate the power that is experienced in unity when the body of believers is working together in perfect unity. I think of this story I heard from this past school year. There's this young, precious girl, we'll call Leah is her name. And Leah is in school in the Harrisburg area. She's a third grade student. And like so often will happen in the release time programs, Leah's family does not attend church at this time, but they signed her up for the release time program. They signed her up to go learn God's word. And on the first day of class at the beginning of the school year, like often happens, the volunteers, the church that's there serving, will ask the students, "Hey, tell us your name and, you know, why you're here." And Leah had no idea why she was there. Leah didn't know that her parents had signed her up, and she didn't know that it was a Bible study that she was coming to either. But Leah was happy that she was getting out of school class for about an hour out of the week. So that's okay. We're not ashamed of that as an entry point for many, many of these students. As they begin to kind of start their class and work through things, again, remember the church, the people serving are coming together around God's Word. We're teaching God's Word. We're teaching kids to memorize Scripture and get that written into their heart. Well, Leah didn't have a Bible. Leah had never read a Bible, flipped through a Bible, nothing. Now, of course, the team blessed her and gave her a Bible. So the school year had begun, and this is how Leah started to be introduced to this community of believers there. And they started to notice something as Christmas was approaching. So just a couple months, couple weeks of this time spent, they started to notice that Leah's Bible was starting to look like many of yours. It had been flipped through. They saw some highlights in it. They saw some markings on the sides of the pages and some notes. And so the team was encouraged. They thought they were just blessed by that. And then it was getting near Christmas, and Leah came and asked the team, would it be possible if I could have two more Bibles? He said, yeah, I think that we could do that. Why? What are you thinking? And she said, well, I want to give one to my mom, and I want to give one to my siblings. He said, yeah, we can do that. So the team gave Leah two more Bibles, and then she gave them to her family at Christmas time. So the school year continues to go on, and we're approaching the end of the school year, and the program is ending, and Leah's finishing up her third grade year. Now, I'm going to pause. I don't have this big finale ending for you. I don't know yet. Our team does not know yet that Leah has begun a relationship with Jesus or made that kind of a decision yet. But what was really neat and blessed the people that shared this back with me is Leah's mom reached out and said, hey, you know, we've noticed a bit of a change, and Leah's been sharing about what she's learning here, and she gave us Bibles, and she said, so we've been talking as a family, and we want to start attending church. Can you recommend any good churches for us locally? And all of them were happy. And I hope that they stayed united in this, because, again, they're all coming from different churches, so they all have the best church for Leah's family to go to, you know, of course. But just a blessing to hear and see the church coming together in unity and serving, and God using them to glorify himself to people that are maybe still a bit in the darkness there, but now they're looking for a local church to get connected to. And I'm sure that they gave them a couple recommendations there from that were representative. There's another story that I'll give you. And I promise I'll be close to ending my message time together, but this one has just blessed me in so many ways. And when I thought about this idea of unity, this one really stood out to me. There's this young boy named Charles. We're kind of in the York area of things here. Charles, again, is an elementary school student. But the story doesn't even start with him yet. It starts with a teenage girl that was part of the 412 program here who was working a job in her community. And she happened to just work with this, I'll say a young mom, but an older woman, right? They worked together, and the teenager was sharing about Bible Adventure. Just telling the mom, hey, you know, it's a really neat program. I've seen kids in it. My family's been part of it. And through that, she just encouraged her to sign her son up for Bible Adventure. So Charles gets signed up. Again, probably like Leah's story, he gets signed up to go to a Bible study that he didn't know anything about. Their family did not attend church. It was not a church-attending family. They had some real unique challenges and difficulties in their home life. It was just a mom that was kind of a single mom, two or three kids. So she signed Charles up. Charles goes to his first Bible Adventure program. And what was interesting is from there he made the decision he was interested to come over to the weekend camp that they do for elementary students out here. And as he came out for camp and got to experience this new level of community and another kind of aspect of the church serving and what it was like, he'd made a decision to accept Jesus and begin a relationship with Jesus. And I'll tell you what, as he took that back to his school and his he populated that Bible adventure class. I think, if I remember hearing it correctly, he'd invited almost his entire class. But as a result, through that school year, which was last school year, there was over 20 kids that accepted Jesus, made first-time decisions to follow the Lord in that class as a result of him inviting them to come. It continues. Now, he's on fire for the Lord at this young age. He's sharing with his family as well. He invites his brother to come with him next year, the following year, to the elementary, his younger brother. So he came over to camp. And then, as some of you probably know, Joel has this mother-son weekend. He invited his mom to come. So mom came with the two sons to a weekend of camp and just got to be surrounded by the body of Christ, loving and serving together. I will, again, tell you, don't know yet where the story ends. God's still writing it. We don't know where mom is exactly in there, but what I know is I like the positioning. I like where she's at. She's surrounded by God's people. Her kids are active still in their faith, and they're growing. And mom has been blessed in different ways. I know, as I've heard stories of the team, again, here they're connecting beyond just that one-time gathering, right? They're in the community together. They're serving. They're blessing. So they stay in touch. And I believe there's good eternal hope ahead for mom, too, that she will be following Jesus and come to experience all of his glory. To me, it's incredible how God is working when we are united as the body of Christ. I hope those few stories there just help to illustrate the power that can be experienced today in 2026 when we are truly living in that community of unity, when we're serving, loving together. I think that I just remind you that it takes us to stay humble. We have to stay humble. We have to be open and obey those little nudgings and promptings of the Spirit of our Lord. But as we do this, as we live in unity, as we stay in humility, the Lord, he will reveal himself to those that are around us. And out of this community of unity that we live, the world will know. The world will know that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God and his purpose for coming. Again, I'm going to draw us back to something, the example we saw in Scripture that we have. Recall we were talking about the Acts 2 community. Remember what Acts 2 tells us. In the Bible, it's told that the Lord added daily to those that were being saved. That community of unity that was described, the Lord added daily those that were being saved, those that were coming to Christ and making decisions. I would imagine when Chris was here before, he might have shared some of these things with you. We see this regularly. And again, we take no credit for it whatsoever. It's a result of God working through the church. To God be all the glory. But I thought I would just share this again to illustrate the power and the impact and the purpose that is behind this prayer of our Lord to be in unity. Through last school year, through the Bible Adventure and Christians in Action programs, we know of 227 children began a relationship with Jesus for the first time. Through the church working together, that's all over this region, folks. The Lord was adding daily those that were being saved as a result of the church loving, serving together in unity. God be the glory for that. Last summer, there were 202 kids that made a first-time decision for Christ at summer camp. We haven't started this year yet, so I would invite you to be praying for us and thinking of us as begins in about 2 weeks. Our first week of camp up there will be like the 14th, and then it's 8 weeks. Thousands of kids coming through, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of home lives and scenarios. But what will be consistent is they will be taught and presented the Word of God. They will be loved by the family of God, working together in unity. Last year, total, through all the different parts of ministry, and this is not just kids alone, but there are adults included in this too, as I told you at the beginning, how we see God working in families and communities. There were 683 people that began a relationship for the first time last year through the different ministries that Joel has. Again, to us, we pray that we never grow numb or dull to that idea. The reason that we're sharing the numbers and kind of trying our best to keep track of it is not so that I can come give you a fancy report. It's so that I can encourage you with the impact that God's making as you serve together. It's so that we can remember that every single one that I've talked about is a soul. It represents a soul. It's not a number or statistic. It's a soul impacted for eternity. And what a great privilege it is. And again, we give God all the glory and praise for that. I believe that there is much more ahead, that God is continuing to stir and rally his church together to serve in incredible ways. As I kind of conclude and wind this down, you might wonder, why am I sharing this? Where am I going? It's in my heart, it's in my spirit that God is moving, that God is behind all this, that God is stirring and calling his church to this type of community again. It's not only for Acts 2. It's not only for historians to look at and to talk about. It's for us to experience today. I believe that God is shaping his church into that biblical image of his bride that we hear and that we know about and that we read about. And a major part of that, I believe, is unity. We cannot have it if we're in disunity. We can't have it, right, if there's infighting and disagreements. We must be in that type of complete unity that Christ prayed for. Jesus prayed for this. God heard. God is responding to that. I think we have to live like this, like a united church, and we must serve this way. Now, of course, I remind you this. I'm partial at this time. I'm partial to Joyelle, but there's so many opportunities. I described it as a missional partner, as an extension of the church, and I know that this church already has many extensions. I was looking through some of them out on the table, and we live in this area here and region where there's just tremendous ministry opportunities and partners out there that we can connect with. Again, camping alone, we're in a very blessed region to have so many great camps and ministry partners around us. I know that the team was just up at Miracle Mountain. We have had such great relations with Miracle Mountain and love helping them and vice versa. And we do the same here with Rhodes Grove and Cove Valley. So there's just so many options. I'm not saying that every one of you has to serve through Joyelle. What I'm asking is that you serve and that you join in with the church and what God's doing and be part of this community of unity. This area alone, there's pregnancy centers that need help serving. I guarantee if you step in and serve in one, you will meet a brother or sister in Christ there. There's homeless centers. There's prison ministries. There's ministry to veterans. There's hospice and nursing home visitations. All of these places represent areas where there's needs, where people are still hopeless, where people are still in darkness. And we as the church, as the church united, stepping in can bring God's glory to them. That when we step in united, then they will know that Jesus is the begotten Son of God. At this time, I'll just close with prayer and we'll have the worship team come back and lead us out. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together today. It is always good to be in your house, to be in your family, to partake of your word together, to worship and glorify you. And again, Lord, we just ask that you would do the things that only you can do, that you would move powerfully through your word, by your spirit, God, that you would just stir each and every heart here to what you know we need to hear, God, as we maybe, you know what each person is facing, God. You know where affirmation is needed. You know where just an injection of courage is needed to step out into that next thing. You know where inspiration and vision might be needed. Lord, I pray that each person here today would receive from you everything that you've intended, God, and that it would just continue to move us forward in a church that is just completely unified as you prayed we would be. And God, may it be for the reason you prayed, that you and you only would be glorified, that not any one individual would be recognized or would stand out, but that Jesus Christ alone would be exalted high, that your glory would be revealed on earth to all peoples as we've had the privilege to know, experience, to taste, and see. God, I just ask that you would continue stirring, moving mightily among your people. God, just uniting your church together again around your mission, around your truth, around your word. And Lord Jesus, again, you and you alone be glorified. Amen.